A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, the Sovereign and our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I apparently need a little more coffee today. I should be good by the second service. So this sermon today, I've been struggling with it. We get Doubting Thomas every year, the Sunday after Easter, and every year it becomes a game a little bit that, oh, Thomas is bad, and now the new trend is Thomas is good. And I actually wrote 4 sermons for today. That's how important you people are. I tried 4 times. But today I really don't want to get into whether Thomas is good or bad, because I really don't think it's that simple. He's a complex person just like all of us. We have our good moments, our bad moments, and our really confused and complicated moments. But I really don't know if what Thomas was doing was really doubt. Because if it was doubt, then there it means something else had to happen. It means that he didn't believe his friends. He thought they were lying or mistaken. I'm not sure that was the case. Maybe he just thought they were confused because he was so depressed. He just went through this traumatic experience and just thought they were wrong or hallucinating. Again, I don't think that's the issue. I don't think it's the issue that it's never happened before, because by this point, Jesus had done all kinds of unexpected and unusual things that hadn't happened before. So I don't think that's the issue either. Instead, I want to argue that what Thomas had was something different going on. I think he had the knowledge. I think he believed his friends, but I don't think he accepted it. We can be like that. We can know something without letting it change us, without it being real. In a sort of way, it's kind of denial. Thomas might have known the implications of what would happen if this was real. It wasn't that he didn't have knowledge or thought his friends were wrong, but if this was going to change his life, he wanted proof. He wanted to be 100% absolutely sure, because this was important. Yaroslav Pelikan was an American scholar and historian who at one time was Lutheran. He eventually became Orthodox. He is known for saying on his deathbed, either Jesus Christ rose from the dead and nothing else matters, or Christ didn't rise from the dead and nothing else matters. I think that encapsulates the idea and the size of this event. It's a big deal. It's a big deal if God's love is so strong that death can't hold us. That does change everything. And it changes lives, and it means that rules and systems and power that is built on fear and keeping other people down is now in jeopardy. And it can be scary because it means everything that Jesus taught and said must be true. If he really rose from the dead, it adds credence to every other claim, especially about the kingdom of God. If Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God breaking into our world, then that has to be true. And if God's kingdom is coming, well, then that's a threat, because maybe our kingdoms aren't going to last, or maybe they're going to be replaced. If we live into Jesus' resurrection, if we believe it, in a circular sort of way, I think it will also open our eyes to things we can see. We will not be able to see Jesus' wounded body standing in front of us. What Thomas experienced was a one-time thing, sort of for Thomas. We don't get that option 2,000 years later. Instead, we have to look for Jesus in different places. And if we're living into the resurrection, I think it's possible. I think that if we believe Jesus rose from the dead, then we'll believe when Jesus said, if you do it for the least of these, you do it for me. If we believe and live into Jesus rising from the dead and the resurrection being a reality for today, then we can see God in all kinds of places. As Lutherans, we say God comes to us in word and meal. Word meaning our scripture readings, the sermon, and our music even. And we also say God comes to us in the bread and wine, which is true. But I think we get that. At least I've heard it so much that it's sort of pounded into my brain. But I think we sometimes leave out the other reality, that so many people won't make it into a worship service, yet still encounter God, because God comes to us through each other. And if God is found in the least vulnerable in a special way, that's important too. Because we live in a world right now that is going through things that I haven't been able to imagine, or at least never wanted to. Last night, while sitting at dinner with my family out to a restaurant in the area, I have the habit of checking my cell phone because I always want to know what's going on. And yet, there's news of another shooting in a Jewish community, this time in California. I've spoken at so many vigils that I have lost count. And it's not just those directly impacted by the shootings. It's not just the communities in California and in Pittsburgh. But it's people who are now in fear everywhere because of their faith, what they do or say or look like. We still have people living in fear because of who they love. We still have a world where women are treated as second-class citizens in so many ways, including in how much they're paid. There are hurting and vulnerable people all around us. And those are just like the big examples. Every day, there are those of us who are struggling with an illness or loss of job, or the loss of a loved one, grieving, in pain. When we reach out to those people, I have this hunch that we will encounter Jesus in a very real way. In fact, we'll encounter the wounded body of Christ, just as Thomas did. We just have to look differently. Jesus' words today about belief and seeing. Blessed are those who have not seen but believe. And I go further, that once we believe, we can see. We can see that in the midst of darkness, new life begins. In the midst of struggle, Christ is there and present with all who are struggling. And in so doing, we'll see the risen Lord. And that's good news, that God can come to us through the word and the meal and each other. Amen.